Hello, hello. You're listening to a special Wednesday edition of Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is All Wrong and the plans change. We're going to listen to some tracks from their CD, do some live stuff, do some interview, and then you get to go check them out at Get Lucky on April 26th at 3 Clubs. Here's a track from their CD. Title track is called All Wrong. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
He waits on the street with his hat in hand. Look past his face, somehow erased in a pink plastic raincoat. I don't know how you got me so wrong. Tattered shoes, any way I go on. I just know you forgot me, that's all.
Back on Is Good on killradio.org. My guess is All Wrong and the plans change. All lines are up. Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming in on a lazy, windy, weirdly cold Wednesday afternoon in Los Angeles.
No, thank you.
So why don't we just start with who you are and what you play, and then we'll jump into a live song, and then we'll see where the show goes. So who would, maybe you could start.
I'm Amy. I play the drums, usually.
What are you playing today, Amy?
Xylophone. Baby xylophone.
Amy's playing a wicked multicolored xylophone kit that you can carry. It's pretty awesome. I'm Kasha, and I play the bass and I sing.
I'm John. I play guitar, and sometimes I play the piano, but not today.
Now, is there a front person to this band? And like, Kasha, is this your band and these
your
band members?
Front. I do stand in front. I don't know if I front the band.
But is it sort of like a, you know, me and my band thing, or is it more of a collaborative project?
No, we're definitely a band. A lot of these songs on this record are things that I did write, you know, for other projects, but I've been playing with Amy off and on in different projects for 5 years or so. So pretty much everything is she and I, no matter what, and we keep playing with a whole bunch of different guitar players. And I used to live in New York, so this LA version is brand new, and John Leahy's playing with us, and also John Wood, who's not here today, is the producer of the record, plays guitar on everything. He plays slides, he plays accordions, he plays cereal boxes. He's amazing, but he's not here today because he's got some trouble with the law.
A lot of that going around these days. Why don't we jump into a live song, and then we'll get into some more interview and listen to some more tracks from the CD.
Cool.
What are you going to play for us first?
Sunshine LA. Should we do Sunshine LA?
Yes.
Let's try it.
It's an excellent choice for today.
Yeah.
There's very little of it. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is All Wrong and the Plans Change.
I wanted a little of your time, and then I needed all the time. I had it, I lost it in my mind. I'm trying, I'm dying on the vine. I'm not ashamed, you should be mine. Sunshine LA, I'm not alright. I'm wrong and it's aching all the time. A lover, a loser, who am I? I'm not the same, I'm on all the time. That's what it takes, living. Sun on my back, a night of good rest is all that I ask of you. Like starlit water in the dark, you are a dream I can't help.
I love surprise endings like that.
Yeah.
The broken down version.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guess is All Wrong and the Plans Change. Well, let's talk about this for a second. So this is a pared down acoustic set. You know, you guys, much, much different sound from what we listened to at the beginning of the interview, which is the track from your CD,
yeah,
where you had a lot of distortion, guitar, and really sort of upbeat drumming.
Yeah, this is a sidewalk version.
Right.
This is like when we're just broke and we need some quarters.
So when you started the band, was it more pared down like this and you added different elements, or did you know right off the top that it was going to be this full rocking sound?
No, I mean, since I play the bass, I write a lot of things to the bass. So, you know, I'm always amped no matter what. So I kind of count on the fullness of the band to bring more sound to things, because I really just kind of lay down the rhythm parts and the melody. So it's pretty empty. I mean, I like the stark sound and I do like doing some raw stuff, but, you know, the band is why I do it. I love playing and having the full sound, and I love playing with the other people. So
now, you mentioned that you had lived in New York and were doing music there for a while.
Yeah.
How could you describe some of the sort of major differences in being in a band and promoting a band in LA as opposed to New York? Are there major differences?
Yeah. I lived in New York for the past 7 years. I've only been here for about 8 months. And I think the difference is that everything is really spread out in LA, and you don't really know if anybody is going to come to your show. You don't know if there's a scene. You don't know if it's a cool bar. Every night's a different night. There's not like a vibe that really sticks. It's kind of a little bit like shooting in the dark.
It's not like you'll have spillover from the bar next door.
Right. Nobody's going to walk by probably and come into your show, which is, you know, like when you play, a lot of times we play on the Lower East Side and, you know, there's people out everywhere. So you'll look out and not know who people are because they just come in, or they see you from outside and they want to come check it out. But LA just feels like you get in your car and then you go and then you get back in your car and you're not quite sure what happened.
Do you think this affects the way people receive music as well? Like, does it affect the audience, the way they listen to music, the way they relate to bands?
I don't know. What do you think? Amy's lived here for a long time. I mean, she's played in so many bands here. Maybe you have a better read on that.
That's hard to say. I didn't play in New York too many times, but, you know, it's hard to get people out in L.A., definitely. And it seems like a lot of times it's your friends and you're begging them to come, you know, every time the
right.
Same people. And, yeah, it doesn't seem like people enjoy seeing live music as much, maybe because there's so many bands, you know, and you never know what you're going to get.
People go to something so specifically, too. They're like, all right, I just bought this new album. They're coming to L.A. on January 4th. I'm going to go
see
that
one time.
I'm going to go
that
one
location.
Show. I'm not even going to show up early for the opening band.
Yeah.
I'm not going to see anything I don't already know. And then they go home.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I used to have a rule. I was so frustrated that in L.A. I used to have a rule that once a week I'd go to a show. I would pick a venue that I liked and I'd just go. And whoever was there was there. But I've gotten lazy. I've stopped doing
that. Yeah.
just as bad as everyone else.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the beginning of this band. Like, how long have you been together as All Wrong and the Plans Change?
8 months.
Yeah.
So since you moved out to LA. And before that, it was, what was the name of the band that you were doing before?
Stella's Ball.
And that involved the both of you, right?
Yeah.
And tell me a little bit briefly about that band and how this is a different act.
It was a little more rockin', and we had a different guitar player named Kyle who quit the band. Like 2 days before we were supposed to start recording
Kyle
the record.
Kyle quit the band.
It actually worked out better, I think. But it was definitely a little more high energy, rocking, you know, showing off.
And was that just because of his influence, or was this something you wanted to change when you built a new band?
Have I brought down the vibe of the band?
John
so I've sucked all the energy out of
mellow.
The band.
Turn the volume down. No, you know, it's funny because writing songs, you go in phases where you write a whole bunch of like upbeat stuff and then you're like, God, I just don't want to be just like, I'm just trying to rock just to rock. I have all this stuff I want to say or whatever. I mean, that's how I think about it. So then you write that stuff and then you're like, ugh, I just want to dance. That's kind of boring. So you kind of go, you know, back and forth. And I think at that phase when I was writing stuff with Kyle, also because he's very much a lead guitar player and he, everything kind of migrated more toward that rocked up sound. But, you know, I think All Wrong Plans Change is different because of the people involved. There's more, understanding of dynamics, and, you know, we wanted to have a little bit more diverse of a collection of songs. Right now we're writing some more upbeat ones again, because this is sort of a medium level and we plan on going back in the studio and redoing it, but you know, we wanted to be able to hear the songs and not just have it be like gimmicky and rocky and whatever. So
that's one of the things I noticed just from doing this show, is like the harder edge bands, you can really tell if a band is good if you take away some of that noise, some of the loudness.
Yeah.
If you can still get the song from that, you know, if there's still music behind that, then it's, you can put the loudness back in.
Right.
But a lot of times with the harder edge bands, it's the loudness is covering for the fact that they haven't really written much of a song. There's no lyrical content or dynamics to the music. So
yeah.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, like, you're in a, when whenever you're in a crappy punk band with your friends, you're like, oh man, this song sucks. But if we turn it up, it might be
okay. be better.
So, or, well, make it faster.
Let's listen to another track from the CD. What do you recommend?
How about Babe?
Yes.
Which track is that?
I think it's
there it is.
8, possibly.
Babe?
Babe is track 4.
All right. These guys didn't sit in on the mastering session.
All right, stick around. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is All Wrong, and the plans change. we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. Listening to All Wrong and the Plans Change. Where is this CD available? Anybody know?
In my pocket.
Yeah. I mean, do you just basically sell it at shows, or can people get it online or anything?
Right now, we have to do another pressing because we went to South by Southwest, and when we came back, we had no more CDs. So, you know, I think also because we want to go back in and kind of clean up some of these tracks a little bit, we've been wondering, we've been kind of doing our own pressings of short runs and then waiting for a bigger one. But you can definitely get it from us at shows. And we're registered on Snowcap, right?
Yeah.
Off of MySpace to buy it.
Does the Snowcap work? Does anybody know that?
I'm signed up for it, but we haven't really set it up yet. But if you hit us up on MySpace, we'll definitely send you a free one.
And that's MySpace.com/AllWrongAndThePlansChange.
Yeah.
Now, it's kind of tacky to ask a band about, like, oh, how'd you come up with your name? But in this case, it's kind of a long and unusual name, so I'm going to go ahead and ask that tacky question. Is where does the name come from?
It's a true story. That's all I got to say.
Amy kind of came up with it, but it basically, like, if you had to put, if you had to make a movie of our lives from the past 8 months, it would be called All Wrong and the Plans Change. Everything from, you know, me moving to LA to us getting, having interesting living situations, moving around a lot, losing jobs, having to get jobs, losing guitar players, getting new guitar players, life just being hilariously unbearable, but hilarious at the same time. I mean, it's not meant to be a negative thing. It's kind of funny. It's like where we've ended up on, you know, just so many things where the bottom falls out, but we still did the record, and we still, it was a totally different thing than I think any of us thought it would be, but it's still great, you know. So
after changing your plans, then the sort of pendulum is swinging back.
And, right.
I mean, it sounds like things are going in your favor now. You performed at South by Southwest, and you have all these things coming up, and, you know.
We've had a lot of really great things happen, like, great, but literally, you know, I mean, I think that all of us are, you know, talented and really good, solid people, but also, like, just life is fucking retarded.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we totally will be that band, like, going to the gig and trying to cut CDs in the back seat and have, like, half our CDs fly out the window. I mean, you know,
right?
It's just, like, at this point, it's comical.
Well, I just got to keep doing it, and then if it becomes all wrong again, you change your plans again.
Exactly. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's not meant, some people are like, oh, that's so negative, but we got a lot of shit for the name. People wanted us to do something a little more, oh, I don't know, shorter.
Now, let's talk about that, about people wanting you to do things. I mean, you guys, are you currently signed with any independent label or anything like that?
No.
And is that something that you have your sights set on? And do you think about, like, okay, what's going to happen when we are in a label and we're selling CDs and they ask us to, you know, do some poppy hook thing for the radio? I mean, do you guys focus on the future in that way?
Definitely. I think the kind of label we would be on wouldn't do that. I mean, we're definitely not trying to get, like, a major record deal. Maybe more like a publishing deal or something like that, where we can still have control and record and produce it ourselves and, you know, keep our long name if we want to.
So you're wary of people sort of telling you what to do and trying to influence your music from the outside? Because it happens to a lot of bands.
Definitely. I mean, we appreciate constructive criticism and, you know, respect people's opinions and stuff, but I think we'll take it in, you know, into consideration, but I don't think we're going to do anything that we don't want to do or aren't comfortable with.
I have no use for constructive criticism. Screw that.
Yeah, exactly.
Get your own show.
Yeah, a lot of people have been really nice to us, you know, and so it's interesting to do the record, and for me, not even really being able to hear it yet because it was so closely being finished that I just, anytime I heard the song, I just was like, I hate this, forget it. And then having people that, you know, actually have jobs with desks and money and cars and all that kind of stuff, being like, you know, here's your top six songs, these are the ones, and you're like, okay,
right? And they weren't there writing it, making it, playing it over and over to get it exactly right.
I just don't know what it means, you know. I feel really grateful for all the good things that people are saying. I just don't know necessarily how that applies to what the fuck we're doing. You know,
I think that's a good note for us to go to a live song in. What would you like to play for us now?
This song's called Ugly Train.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is All Wrong and the Plans Change live on Kill Radio. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is All Wrong and the Plans Change. That was beautiful, by the way. That's fantastic. I know you guys are dying a slow death, but But trust me, I'm.
It's noon.
I got the headphones on. I know what it really sounds like. It sounds
Thank
good.
God.
Now, Amy, I.
Can you hear those bells loud enough?
Yeah, definitely. Just the right amount. Now, I could see it required incredible amounts of restraint to keep from banging on this on the little xylophone that you brought in. So I want to ask you about being a drummer, about, you know, how you started in music, and, you know, did it start with banging on pots and pans in the kitchen or what?
It really did. I know that sounds crazy and like people say that, but I was always totally fascinated by the drums. I grew up playing with my dad, who plays every instrument in the world, and actually he produced this record and he plays with us normally. He's John Wood, but I fully pulled out the pots and the pans, and I had an uncle who played the drums, and I was just like, that is definitely what I want to do. So I had a little Mickey Mouse kit from Target, and I probably learned how to play like a rock beat when I was 8, and but always just completely fascinated by the drums and nothing else.
Did you always know you were going to do rock drumming as well?
Yeah, pretty much like the rock. I've been trying to work on my pressed roll and stuff, but but that's it. These guys are sick of hearing about my pressed roll. But I never really took any lessons or anything, so I'm kind of just a big fan of drummers and listen to a lot of music and rip people off.
Hey, Amy,
and make it my own.
Amy had the childhood. When Amy tells me about her childhood, I get so jealous because her dad, she grew up with a father owning a studio. And like her and skate punk friends like skate to the studio, go in and play all day long inside a studio. That sounds like a dream childhood to me.
Well, it's certainly a good recipe for becoming a musician.
Yeah,
pretty sweet.
For
sure.
Now, with you playing the drums and Kasha playing the bass, and the drums and the bass, you know, definitely needing to have an ongoing conversation during any song. As the two, you know, longest members of, you know, you guys have worked together for a while. I don't know, this question's going all over the place, but I'm just thinking about, like, you know, your relationship both as as friends in the band, but then also relying on each other musically.
Yeah.
Because it's also unusual for the lead vocalist to be a bass player.
So I hear.
And so, you know, normally what you have is the drums and the bass kind of in the back of the band, and they're the rhythm section.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting dynamic. Can you go into that a little bit?
Well, the cool thing about Amy is that, I mean, there's so many things, but but the drumming that she does is really, I mean, she's super, not only like an amazing rock drummer, but also really a dynamic drummer. So she was kind of the first person that would even play with me, kind of like, okay, there's this weird girl singing to the bass, and to me it made total sense because that's sort of how I hear things. And she was able to just put everything in place, you know, like I'd bring a bass line to her, which is basically sort of a just strange lead bass line, and she would build pockets around it, and like we just never really had to talk much about anything. So I thought it was like, oh, well, of course, you know, this works. And then trying to work with other drummers, I was like, oh, no, this is atrocious. So,
yeah, and if you guys don't click, if the drums and the bass don't click, the rest of the band, it doesn't even matter.
Like, yeah.
They have to be connected.
I mean, Amy and I have played, it sounds funny, but like when we first started doing stuff, she would come to New York and we would play gigs like just bass and drums or just some weird, you know, me desperately trying to have a band, which is just so hard to do, that finally, I mean, I'd go up and sing to the bass at open mics, and thank God I didn't know what a retard I was, you know, because I was just like, this is going to be awesome. Everybody's going to, I love this song. Of course, I hear all this music in my head that nobody else hears. But yeah, I mean, Amy and I just, I think that she makes the music possible, because otherwise it would, the bass lines aren't, they work and you can hear them in the songs, but they aren't as normal as maybe they should be.
How did that all start for you? You described yourself as this, you know, strange girl singing to the bass. Why weren't you just another girl on a guitar, folk singer kind of act?
I hate going to one more gig where it's like the girl's a folk singer. As much as I love a lot of folk and bluegrass music, and I do, but I just never pictured myself as being able to pull that off, and I didn't have the patience to learn the guitar, and the bass just made sense to me like right away. I wanted to be a drummer originally, but when I was like in junior high, my mother was like, hell no, that's loud, and no. So I moved, you know, I just kind of figured like, what can I do? I had to kind of start later, you know, with an instrument. So the bass just made the most sense. And I was like, well, I got to get on this. So
it's a blessing in disguise, because if your mother had a studio, you probably would have become a drummer.
Right. And then Amy and I would be having drum offs.
Right. All right, John.
Yeah.
So tell me about your journey with the guitar, and then also, you know, bringing it into this band, this sort of, this group of people who already have something sort of established that you're joining.
Yeah. I've been playing guitar for a while, and I've played in a bunch of bands, and same old story as a million other guitar players in LA. But I think the most interesting thing about the way guitar works in this band is that, as she was saying, she plays a lot of weird bass, and she writes on the bass, and she writes melodic bass lines. And whereas normally a song, the bass, if you look at the bass player, he or she should be playing the note that the chord, you know, you're like, oh, they're playing a C, the song's in C. There's no way of telling what chord, what key the song is based on her note, because she's playing a melody, and she's playing harmonies and all kinds of stuff. So in most bands, the bass is holding it down, and the guitars are doing flourishes or whatever. But in this band, the guitar is kind of, if you listen to the record, the guitar is kind of drone and have to keep it all together. And that's John Wood, played fantastic guitar parts on this record. And so there's lots of like repetitive riffs and great things. And the guitar can stay the same and just chug along because her bass is going all over the place and being really melodic and fun. So it's kind of the reverse of,
did you have to learn
a rock band,
like this new way of playing, so that it brought out Kasia's music and Amy's music the
best?
Yeah,
well, like, you know, like you'll go in and be like, you know, I'm a good guitar player, just tell me what key's it in and I'll futz around and noodle. You can't, there's no place for the guitar to noodle because the bass is already noodling. So you have to take the time to learn.
That would be too much noodling in one band.
Yeah.
Patience.
Yeah, so it's different. It's like I've learned a lot about you know, the way the pieces can fit together a little differently.
And he also, you know, he came up with this really cool, he has a thing called a pianette, which I don't know, it's like a Hohner 60s. I don't know how old it is. It's old.
It's the thing that you hear on Beatles records that Billy Preston is playing on Beatles records. It's this old, it's about to fall apart, and I slept on top of it in the van, which is my favorite, my favorite part of the South
It also
by
makes
story.
A really good pallet in the back of the van if you need to sleep.
Yeah.
Nice. Let's listen to another track from the CD. What do you recommend?
Waited, number 3.
All right. Everyone should check out myspace.com/allwrong and the plans change. And we'll be right back after listening to this track. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Forget about it. I don't know what to say.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is all wrong, and the plans change.
John's reprimanding me for my bad etiquette.
Kasha just got shushed.
Damn. You couldn't hear it. She was playing Black Dog during the break.
I want to ask you before we go into a live song about how you write. I mean, do you, Kasha, do you write all the songs yourself? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, and then...
Lyric-wise and bass-wise, but...
Okay, and then do you... Are you writing mostly about abstract things or stories? Are you writing about people that you know? Is there a theme that you come back to a lot?
Yeah. I think mostly I tend to write about human behavior and always feeling like I'm kind of sitting on top of my head a lot of times watching the world happen and trying to figure out how to be a good person and also, I don't know. I mean, it's about relationships a lot. It's about trying to come to terms with how things are and find acceptance. But I don't ever really... I also really enjoy, like, being up at 4 in the morning with ghosts in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of enjoy that in-between place that I feel the most comfortable in. Like, for me, you know, having a job, I mean, at some point in my day, every day at work, I look around and I'm like, this is hilarious.
How, you know, is this possible?
Like, what am I even doing? Like, this is so funny what I do, just basically, you know, to survive and be a part of society and
mm-hmm.
basically spend the day trying not to let on that I think everything's totally full of shit. But,
So the whole...
In a funny way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so not a dark thing.
It's not a dark thing. But no, it is, but it does sound like it's very introspective. It's how you,
yeah,
it's how you see things, like from your point of view.
Yeah, I mean, I mostly find like my body to be a huge inconvenience. You know what I mean? Like I feel like if I actually said what I was thinking most of the time, you know, people are like, okay, you're insane, you know. So,
but lyrics sort of allow you to
right.
to do that
yeah.
more, and then they can either get it or they can say, "Oh, it must be a metaphor."
Right, exactly. is she talking about me? Yeah, but you know, a lot of them too. I'll start one song about something, and it'll end up being about something else, you know. And you know, whether sometimes I don't even know it, I'll just be whatever, and then later I'm like, "Oh my God, that was about me." Totally freaking out, and I thought I was fine.
That's and do you set aside like a time, like I'm gonna write now, or is it more like something comes to you and you're scrambling for a napkin and a pen?
No, I usually am writing. I have like a book that turn into books that turn into boxes full of like napkins and gum wrappers, and I actually sometimes write things in the books. You know, but it usually happens when I don't realize it or write it when I'm about to go to bed and I have to get up and write down or else I'll lose it.
Mm-hmm. And then collaborating, like you write these songs and you bring them into the rest of the band. Does everybody sort of get it and then pick up what they're supposed to do with it? Or do you sometimes have to say, this is why this song belongs in All Wrong and the Plans Change?
I mean, I usually show it to Amy, and if she doesn't want to do it, we don't do it. That's kind of like the gauntlet. Like if she's like, no, I'm like, all right, shit.
What would be a reason, Amy, why a new song like it doesn't fit in with the way you see the band, or?
Oh, yeah, that's tough. I mean, it's not totally true. I just think also Kasha does some acoustic stuff that doesn't quite fit in all the time. But I like them too.
Amy has plans for us to do like 5 different projects,
mm-hmm.
so she just files my songs into which project they need to be in. But, you know, I also really like, you know, since playing with John, we've started just jamming and stuff, and I have all these lyrics sitting around and, you know, kind of ready. So, you know, the other day we were doing something that he started that sounds amazing, and I just had these lyrics that I've written recently that fit perfectly. And
to just combine the two elements.
Yeah, and then so I get inspired too, which has been a long time since that's happened for me, so I'm grateful for that, you know.
Cool. Well, what are you going to play for us now?
And
you're playing guitar on this song.
Yeah, I'm about to ruin your ears. I play guitar kind of like a bass,
mm-hmm.
so don't expect much. But this song's called Breakdown. It's on the record, full band sound, but you know.
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. This is All Wrong and the Plans Change, live on Kill Radio. Listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guess is All Wrong and the Plans Change. Akasha, you have this really interesting vocal quality because it's this combination of breathy and soft without being quiet. You know, usually a lot of you get a lot of the other, you know, one or the other. It's like where you don't really, where the music isn't passionate enough. You don't really hear the voice, yeah. Or you hear the voice, but it's all passion and no sensitivity. So when you started singing, is that just sort of what came out of you? Or were there some like artists that you were listening to when you were younger that you wanted to emulate? Like, how did you develop your your way of singing? Or do you even know?
Thank you, first of all. I don't... I mean, I listened to so much stuff growing up. My mom was, like, completely into music, and I had so many different kinds around me. And I actually tried to first emulate, like, soul music and also, like, Julie Andrews, because I loved the sound of music and Mary Poppins and stuff like that when I was little. So, and they were easy songs to learn, and I would do them in the mirror, and it would be hilarious. But, you know, I really also liked punk music a lot, and I liked, you know, a lot of, you know, indie bands before that was even a word, when we used to collect
records.
Right, whatever
that means, yeah.
Yeah, you know, where you'd actually go to the shows, and, like, I remember going to see Shudder to Think before anybody knew who they were and being like, this is fucking awesome, you know, and I loved the idea of having melody, like Shudder to Think, something so beautiful, but the music was big, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And also, I realized that if I was going to play in a band, I needed to be heard. So I learned to start pushing my voice out more because the soft stuff just doesn't cut it, you know?
Not when you have drums and distortion guitar
and
everything.
And I didn't, you know, like, I don't feel like it's my moods, you know? Like, that this song, Breakdown, it's not... Breakdown, don't worry about it. It's fucking breakdown.
I'm having a breakdown.
It's like something. So I think it was a combination of those things.
Well, cool. Why don't we, before we sign off with one more track from the CD, let's just, where are you guys playing next and in the future?
Oh, yeah. We're playing at 3 Clubs on the 26th for Get Lucky. It's on Vine Street.
Yeah.
I think we're playing around 10. It's free. There's Oliver Future and One Trick Pony also are playing.
Oliver Future's playing?
Yeah.
Okay. That's great. I'm coming to that show.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And we may... Are we doing that other...
Yeah. They've also been guests on this show, Oliver Future and One Trick Pony.
Cool.
So it'll be a nice little reunion.
Their MySpace was having a breakdown yesterday when I was trying to get on it because I wanted to hear... Safari Sam's?
Safari Sam's on the 30th.
Early.
Real early, like 7:30 or something. Rockin' Eats.
But that's okay because LA is an early town, so you can come out early and get some food and listen to us. What's the deal with that? They order food and we play and it's interesting.
I don't know. They emailed me back. That's the deal with it.
We're going to...
Right.
The thing on the 30th is food. It's a brunch.
We're actually going to eat on stage.
Awesome.
7:30 in the morning.
All right, so... So check out All Wrong and the Plans Change live at 3 Clubs at Get Lucky, which is an awesome monthly indie event. And you can go to myspace.com/thecouchnight for more info on that event. And, of course, go to myspace.com/AllWrongAndThePlansChange. And that's your main web resource right now is your MySpace, right? Or do you have another website?
I mean, we have AllWrongAndThePlansChange.com, but it just flips you to the MySpace right now because we're trying to figure out...
That's what I do too.
What's up?
It's awesome.
Because we're awesome.
Thanks so much for coming in, and look forward to seeing you play a full performance.
Thanks for having us.
Next week. What should we sign off with? What track?
Hold on. Let's see.
Deals?
Let's do In Debt.
I like In Debt.
Track 8, please.
All right, you've been listening to a special Wednesday edition of Is Good on killradio.org. If you want to listen to this again later, you can download it from isgoodmusic.com, myspace.com/thisisgood. Should be up in a couple hours, and as well as podcasting on iTunes. You said